cliffcentral.com. Good morning, everybody. It is 6 o'clock on the dot. Brand new year, brand new decade. Well, you know, someone corrected me, actually. They said the decade only really starts on the 1st of January 2021, technically. I mean, I said, is that correct?
Someone said, never really understand these things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if it's the 90s, then it must start in, what, 1990, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Some people will say, no, it only starts in 1991, because that's the first year of the new decade. You know what I mean?
I've like heard that, but
they're all these purists. Don't give me them first thing in the new year. Good morning. I hope you're ready to start a brand new year and to get things cracking. Well, let me introduce you to your favorite people here this morning. We've got Sia Sangweni. We've got Leanne Moll.
I'm still just adjusting to being back here. I'm like, where is everything? Am I plugged in correctly?
You just spent about 3.5 minutes adjusting your microphone.
There we go. Okay. This is my seat.
In future, I'm going to...
Hi, beautiful people.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning.
I didn't even get to introduce Mbulelo.
All right.
Good morrow.
You might remember from last year. He performed reasonably well, so we thought we'd keep him.
Appreciate it.
Might remember.
Yeah. You may remember him from such shows as last week, Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
Yes.
We did that.
There was a little problem when you guys were hosting on Thursday particularly, because I wanted to support and listen in, but there were no podcasts, so I had to listen live.
Yeah.
I intended to listen.
You just didn't wake up.
No, I woke up and I pushed play on my app. And then I sort of passed out and woke up again at like 6:20. So I got like, you know, 2 minutes of your conversation per segment. So that is fine.
The podcasts are up now, Sia.
Yes, your podcast Friday show. So that was fine. I caught up well.
They're both up now, people. Let's get the gospel out there.
Yeah, thank you for covering for us. That is cool.
All right, now, let us start this year properly.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a few things we're going to do differently.
Are we going to pray?
I had the best break. I didn't go away as I said I wouldn't. Mm. I didn't do Cape Town or Durban or even like some nearby place. I did exactly what I wanted to do. I stayed at home. I had the most fun in the whole universe spring cleaning last week.
Oh.
I loved it. Oh, it was fantastic. So on the 31st, I started major, major spring clean. Like, I'm talking... The kind of stuff that most people detest and loathe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got into the fridge and I cleaned out all those shelves in the fridge and all the little areas where you store stuff. Then I went into the pantry. Then I went into my clothes cupboard. Then I went into the linen cupboard. I mean, everything is so organized now. It's like I've done a stock take.
Oh, that feels really good.
It's so good.
I've got someone who does that for me.
You do?
Mm.
Yeah, you see, I can't let anyone do it because I need to know where everything is.
Yeah, when it comes to clothes, it's a problem.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to decide.
And my sister got me watching this Marie Kondo woman.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. You see, ooh.
So I've been watching her since she started becoming internationally famous. And my brother's also just caught on. We went on holiday together and he opened up his bag once we'd got to our Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was folded in tiny, neat little squares.
God, it's fantastic.
What's her term? Upright. Does it spark joy? Does something spark joy?
This is it. So I realized, first of all, that I'm unlike other humans in that I'm actually almost, it's not turned on sexually, but I'm so excited by the fact that there's organization and order.
Mm.
Like it's a serious, there's something going on there that's like there's a mental situation that I'm trying to figure out. Anyway, I didn't go away. Also, didn't post anything from the day we left here on the 24th. We did our last show. I haven't posted a single thing on social media. I didn't post what I did for Christmas, what I did for New Year. I could give a shit about sharing my life with people who are not known to me. And that's going to be a trend that's going to continue for this year. So don't expect...
Do you think that'll be good for you?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love... Dude, are you kidding? I didn't feel the need to... Mm-hmm. Should I put this up? Should I put... I put a blanket moratorium on everything and it was the best 2 weeks, 10 days?
It's a holiday in itself.
It was so nice. And I didn't have to pay attention to other people, although I did go on once or twice just to see what everybody was up to.
Yeah.
Because that's fun, you know, it's kind of entertainment. But I also limited my amount of time on the phone, which was very, very healthy, I think. So a couple of things I've decided over the holidays, and you can tell me if you agree with them or not, because, I mean, I'm not going to do this as an island.
Okay.
You know, we'll have to do this together.
Mm. And you've got to be held accountable.
Right. And the first thing is that I'm not going to let the news put me off. I'm not going to get into a state over the news. This is something that carries over from last year, so it's not new in itself. But, you know, I looked at what the last decade meant for humanity. And I looked at some of the things. I mentioned a few of these in the blog that I put up just before we went away. But that human lifespan has increased to 72.9 years now. It was 70 years just 5 years ago. So it's gone up even more. Sure. In other words, the average human can look forward to at least 72 years of healthy life on planet Earth. Remember, that number was 30 somewhere in the middle ages,
exactly.
Right? So, I mean, it's just phenomenal that we get to live this long. That means you shouldn't have a midlife crisis at all. I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine who's turning 40 this year, and he was saying to me, oh, he's very nervous about 40. And I said to him, first of all, there isn't such a thing as a midlife crisis anymore. People are still busy. They're doing things in their 60s and their 70s. Mm. They're getting a lot of interesting stuff done and enjoying being alive and not in pain or, you know, waiting for death or any of that stuff. So it's amazing how much there is to look forward to.
Mm.
The world is great. I saw a couple of stories. You know, these doom... I feel really sorry for people who work in the news media because they have to find bad news.
Mm.
And this is exactly the opposite of what we're going to do for the next year. They have to find bad news because that's what sells their horrible publications. They have to get clickbait. They have to frighten you. They have to attach themselves to that reptilian part of your brain. They have to get into the amygdala response system, which is, oh my God, we're in danger. You're not in danger. You are living at the best time it's ever been possible for humans to breathe and eat and live and sleep and have sex and enjoy themselves. And you can go to the shop now and you can buy stuff that's not in season. That was an impossible thing to achieve even for the richest person in the world in 1900. So stop worrying about the world. The world's fine. I'm not going to let global warming terrorists tell me that I am responsible for changing the climate and that the whole world's falling apart around me. It isn't. It is better than ever. The deaths by pollution have been reduced by, I think it's 75%. I'll check that figure for you, but pollution is right down. People are not dying from pollution.
How do you die from pollution? Is it a lung thing?
Yeah, it's breathing in bad air. And obviously in Australia now there are these bushfires and people are saying, oh, well, that's climate change. It's not. Australia is a flammable place.
It's a tinderbox.
A whole of Australia is made out of stuff that burns. The whole place.
Mm.
And every year there are fires in Australia. And of course this year they're a little bit worse and maybe next year they'll be better or maybe next year they'll be worse. You don't know. And anyone who predicts this stuff without the data is not going to be allowed space to talk on the show either, because we're not going to spread frightening rumors. We're not going to get people afraid. We're going to make people sure that they're listening to stuff that's true. So that's part of what I want to do. And I'm not going to be brought down by politics or load shedding or any of the shit that you can't do anything about. I'm going to help you find ways to make yourself less dependent on government. We're going to explore and unpack all the bullshit issues that are going on in society that don't matter, that have no effect on your life. And the ones that do affect your life, we'll try to understand better. So I want to work out this year whether some of these things that people say are true or not.
Okay.
Like when people talk about the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, that's nonsense. The poor people of the world are better off right now than they've ever been. Global poverty was halved over the last 10 years. Think about that. Global poverty halved.
Mm.
That's just phenomenal. We're going to talk about things like inequality and whether that's actually an issue or not. Because someone said over the holidays, oh, but you know, the Gini coefficient, which a lot of people are obsessed with, it's the difference between the very richest person and the very poorest person in a certain company or place or country or whatever it is. The Gini coefficient is very high in South Africa. If you are a poor person in South Africa, you're better off than in any other African country.
Yeah.
As a poor person. Mm. So even if you have nothing, you're better off in this country than you are anywhere else. Think about that. So don't give me Gini coefficients. We're going to talk about whether or not we should even be concerned about things like trans rights. These are not things that affect most of us on a day-to-day basis, and we don't need to be upset about them. And if someone is trans, let them live their life. It doesn't affect you. If they want to use the male bathroom or the female bathroom, what, it's 2 minutes of your day, so you're terribly uncomfortable, leave the room. Let them live their life. Do you know how many people in the whole world are trans? It's less than half of 1%. So you'll probably encounter four of them in your life. Do you really need to get upset about this? Is this something that we need to put front and center every day of our lives? Like, this is a big issue. It's not. Things like IQ. Does this stuff matter? How do they measure it? Materialism. Overpopulation. Taxes. We had to talk about that a little bit this year.
I'm busy doing mine right now, that's why. But
you see, this is all part of getting your life organized and trying to be better at being human and all of that stuff. Fitness and fatness. I mean, I'm really trying hard. I went to gym yesterday. I went the day before. I've started this year off with all the right intentions, and I'm sure many of us have. And by the way, I just want to say it because a lot of people arrive at the gym now and they go, all those fat people are at the gym now. Like those are the good people. They're trying to improve their lives. They're trying to look better. Like, don't be angry with them.
Why is that a bad thing?
Yeah, like, celebrate those people.
People are trying to get healthy. Come on, you can't be that unhappy.
Because you want to use that machine now? Suddenly,
I'm unhappy as a dickhead, and now I can't be happy for anyone.
Thank you very much. Right, so we're going to be nicer to people too, especially the people who deserve it. People are trying to improve their lives. And do good things, you know. We're going to talk about how just it is. We're getting to the extreme destruction, and it's one of those concepts that deserves destruction, of identity politics. And I can't wait. This is going to be the year that everything goes up in flames for those people who think it's important to categorize yourself, to put yourself in a box. I mean, I saw Gwen and Gwenya, who's been a regular on this show, and she's always got a lot of really interesting points of view. She says some really amazing things, and she was saying, like, when she when she fills in one of those forms that says to you, you have to say whether you're white, black, whatever it is. She says, I filled in a form at the bank and I ticked Indian. Now, Gwen is a black woman, but she ticks Indian, and then the banker looked at me. In the end, she said nothing. I wave my pen without looking and tick it, whatever it lands on. That's what she says.
Yeah, I dare someone to dispute that.
Right. And when I leave it blank, I try to do that often. We don't have to do our own pencil test and self-classify like obedient apartheid students. And this year, if you think that you need to be proud of things that you're just born with, I've got bad news for you, because what you should be proud of is the things you actually achieve on your own as an individual.
Yeah,
and
that's
not
the whole
things
thing
that you're born with.
I was actually speaking to someone in human resources and at a big company, and I said, you know, do you ever have to prove your race when you're applying for these things? Because sometimes you don't know. Yeah. And what he said was, what's interesting though is if you are, say, your one parent is black and the other is colored, you'll tick the black box. If you're Indian and colored, you'll tick the colored box.
Right.
If so you're white and Indian, you'll tick the Indian box.
Did you nearly say Windian?
Windian.
Windian. Well, I mean, if you're proud of stuff that you didn't choose, that you didn't actually have any say in, you're wasting your time. There's no reason to be proud of that stuff. It does you no favors, and it does you no privileges. It does you no damage. Those are just things that you are. There's nothing you could do about them. You've got to be proud of the things you work hard for, things that you put investment or effort into. Mm-hmm. And pride is a strange word to use in relation to immutable characteristics anyway. So we'll look at that. We're going to look at, oh my God, this list is long. I'm not going to go through all of them now, but I'm
fired up. That's a very good start.
Yeah, I'm fired up for this year. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to talking to really interesting people, figuring out how everything works.
How did you get to make that list? It seems like you were spending a lot of time in thought as well, planning. Well, and
I keep notes, and you know what I'm like. If I don't write stuff down, it doesn't really become anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just wanders around in my head until eventually disappears. So I decided
it
I was going to...
falls off the edge of the flat earth.
There we go. So I was... I was just making notes the whole way through. And this started before the holidays. So it's really just carrying it on. I am a little bit jealous, and I'm trying to control that, of people who are still on holiday.
Yeah.
Ugh, my brother and his wife are still away. Another friend of mine is in Mozambique at the moment. There are people who are in Europe doing fun things, and we're back at work. But you know what?
Yeah, some people are only back on like the 16th.
Yeah, you can't be jealous of people. It's just a pointless exercise.
No, I'm not, because I'm getting stuff done.
Right. I'm very happy
to
be back.
They're going
to
have a mountain of stuff to get back to.
Yes.
That's all a choice.
And while I was at home, like sorting out shit and getting my life in order and trying to rearrange things in my head, I think that was time well spent, right? It feels like a break. I really feel like I had a break. Waking up late occasionally, which was good too. It was so nice. I'm not jealous of people who are away. They're going to rush back here, and then they're going to have a million things to do.
Yeah, and other people are going to be ahead of them.
Having said that, Gareth, my sister went skiing this year, and it is one of my favorite activities, and she sent videos. And
see, that upsets me.
I had to sit in the fetal position for a couple of hours.
Where is she skiing?
In Austria.
Ooh.
Yeah, no, I hated her for a millisecond. But Gareth, I really love that last point, by the way, that you had on your list, is less people or more people need to hear you're not special. And I really loved what you said there, Gareth. More people need to hear that. Stop celebrating stuff you're born with.
I mean, you know, it's so interesting. Like, everybody hops onto a pedestal and starts imagining, just because there's social media, that they have the right to lecture the rest of us. And you have to earn that right. You have to be really smart. You have to have done something in your life. And I'm not going to let people come on this show who haven't achieved things in their life. I don't want some, you know, celebrity or someone who thinks they should be a celebrity coming on the show. Someone actually messaged me over the holidays and said, oh, you should interview this person. And I looked them up and they've done nothing. I was like, well, why should I? What must I interview them about? And obviously that person was just looking to get some publicity for this this minor public figure.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's not interesting to put people on who haven't actually thought of something new, added some value to the thinking of humanity, built something, invented something, thought of something, who has something to say about the research they've done. You've got to have something to add. And if you don't come here. I don't care how famous you are, and being on social media, I also don't care, by the way, how many followers you have.
Yeah.
And I hope that this is also the year that Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all of those various social media platforms, which we love, I'm not going to say they're all evil. I hope this is the year that they stop tallying your following and your engagement rates and all of that stuff. Not only in business, because it's been damaging businesses. They've been wasting huge amounts of money on Facebook ads and Google clicks and things that you can put in an ad blocker to stop. And if you're clever, you're already unavailable to people who are buying those ads. I mean, I'm subscribed to YouTube, so I don't get any of the pre-rolls. I don't give a shit what car's advertising there. I don't see them. And you can't reach me, no matter how much you pay Mark Zuckerberg, because I'm blocking you. And there are lots of people like that. So I think that's the first reason they've got to do it. The second reason they've got to stop doing this tallying is because it's damaging young people. It is hurting young people's psychological well-being in a way that we aren't even scratching the surface of at this
stage.
Their
whole perception of the world.
There are young people growing up today who, if you disabled their Instagram tomorrow, they'd be beside themselves. They'd have to start rebuilding their entire personality, and that is terrible. That is devastating for anyone to have to base their entire meaningful existence on what kind of a following, what kind of content, and what kind of a presence they have on social media. It is deadly.
I heard recently from a mom of two teenagers. Well, the one is 21, the other's 19, and she said they don't watch TV or read books. They watch, in inverted commas, Instagram.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's their whole life.
Now, imagine if you aren't able to get onto Instagram and you don't have any real friends. You don't have any meaningful interaction with the rest of the world. What do you have? You may as well be a bot. And that's frightening. Like, I just think that there are so many people who are jumping headlong into this. And I mean, I'm so relieved when I think about the fact that I'm not a parent and I don't have to deal with this, but we all have to deal with it because there's a generation of people who are growing up and the only thing they know is that world.
Yeah, that's like a, you create a self-fulfilling prophecy loop, you know, where, because a bot is at least better. It sees the whole thing. These people, when, you know, Instagram, you subscribe to what you like, generally the people are going to, and it creates what you've spoken to there earlier, Gareth, also in your points, was you were talking about the identity politic. You know, there's something called inalienable rights that people feel like they're entitled to be special. So so this notion of inalienable rights is a scary, scary thing.
For the last 30 to 40 years of human history, which seems like a long time for most of us, it's all of our lives.
Well, it also seems like way, when you say like 30 to 40 years, I go back to like the 50s and 60s, but it's actually...
it's the 90s and 80s. Yeah, someone said to me, we're closer to 2050 now than we are to 1990.
What's the same distance? It's 30 years back, 30 years forward.
Think about
20 years ago was the year 2000. It wasn't like the 80s.
Right.
Okay, so, just so when process you think, that,
when you think
as you were.
30, 40 years, there's been this huge emphasis on what Mbulelo's just brought up now, these rights. Everybody's got rights, and we have a Bill of Rights. And the other side of rights is responsibilities. And nobody tells you what your responsibilities are. Like over the... over the holidays, I was, where was I? I was in some public place. I was around people. And there were these two ladies talking to each other, but they're talking to each other at a volume that is just...
under jet level.
Like, it's just unbelievable that these two women aren't exhausted after a sentence of shouting at each other like this. I mean, they weren't shouting at each other. There was no aggro, but they were talking to each other at such a volume, like they were right next to each other. And I thought, you know, there's not this normal, this predictable kind of, oh, it's because they're black women and I'm white and I don't understand that that's the way that they communicate with each other. It wasn't that. I felt kind of bad for them that they haven't been allowed to explore the fact that they affect other people when they do that, and that they haven't considered that first. Like, when I walk into a public place, the last thing I want to do is upset and destabilize everybody who's already there. And it wasn't a question of, oh, that's irritating me. It was like, I want them to be able to conduct themselves in every situation, whether they're comfortable at home and they can do that, or whether it's in a public place where they want other people to respect them and treat them as, you know, as new entries into a group, for example, without having to be either intimidated or disrespected or any of that stuff. I felt like there was just this responsibility on their side which was not being met. Like, fit in with the group that you're in. If I'm around a bunch of people and they're all talking loud, you're going to have to ratchet up your own loudness.
Sure.
Similarly, if you're in a group of people who are being quiet, you should ratchet it down. That's just socialization.
It's called being civilized.
Well, yes, but we've got to be careful because it does sound... it's a good word, but it does sound a little bit like you've got a superiority complex when you say that. And that's because people are hugely sensitive about this. But I think we've got to start talking honestly to each other. We're doing each other no favors by pretending that it's okay for everybody to just do whatever they want all the time. Rights. There's a responsibility side to this.
Just a note on the voice loudness thing, though. We forget that we come from a background of radio where we hear ourselves in our headphones. That's some true. People aren't aware of how loudly they're speaking. Culture aside, they just aren't aware.
Yeah, I know.
I've never thought of it like that. That's
I sometimes
true.
Want to put headphones on them so that they can hear themselves in a mic.
This is my point. It hasn't got to do with culture in some ways, because there's a friend of mine who was at my Christmas party, and she has a really annoyingly loud and high-pitched voice. And when she talks, she's just talking normally. It's like nails on the chalkboard. I love her, but she has no idea how shit she sounds.
Bring her in here.
Yeah.
The thing is, I'm a loud person, Gareth, so I know what you're talking about, and I've had to learn when you're in public, you can, like, bring those rights closer to yourself. You're not special.
Yeah, but I've actually pointed this out to you, Mbulelo. Sometimes you do it a little too overboard. I think Mbulelo has a tendency to sometimes sound like a kidnapper.
Oh my God, where did that come from?
I've called him out on it like three different times last year when I'm sitting in my office and he'll want to walk in and ask me something, but he says in his words, he doesn't want to startle me. So he'll just creep around the door and just go, "Hey, Sia." I'm like, what? That's even creepier. So like, hey, Sia. Hey. It sounds like, "Hey, do you want some candy? Want to come into this white van with me?"
Oh my god!
You see, I am better than
you
other
are
people.
A creep.
Sia's
right.
There's no denying the creep part, but it's because I know I'm loud, so I'm conscious. Is ratchet it down? Not everybody needs to hear you be ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess.
And by the way, can we get rid of bushy beards this year? Can that also be something?
Is that also
on
this fabulous list?
What the hell is wrong?
I just shaved yesterday.
No. I'm not talking about, like, Bulelo's got a little beard.
Oh, no.
I'm talking about those big beards.
I tried. I spent the past 2 weeks wanting to see how thick my beard can get.
And?
Pitiful.
Was it ridiculous?
Pitiful.
I watched a YouTube video of a guy who, I don't know how I got into the rabbit hole of this one, but he has a channel all about his beard.
Oh,
okay.
Please, no
one
cares.
And he's also got like beard products and all of that sort of thing.
How boring.
And he shaved off his beard. And
thank God.
And he looks a million times better.
Right.
And in the comments, it's saying, "Dude, you look better. You look better."
But you see, some people, the beard helps them.
What,
it hides
you've got,
things.
You've got like terrible scarring on your neck.
No, just it completes the look. Yeah, some people just look weird without a beard. I'm trying to think of examples. And the best example I can think of is like the rapper Rick Ross. It's just, I don't know, it gives them shape if you're little on the chubby side. Please know, some people must keep it.
Maybe it's an identifier.
Some people
like,
must keep it.
No, but it's those ones that are wispy and very, very long.
It's like people who wear hats everywhere and every day.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to. You really don't need headgear every day. You don't.
Or wearing your sunglasses on your, as an Alice band.
See,
in a building.
Now we're starting to bitch and moan.
Tell Bono that.
Very difficult.
You can't.
All right, well, something very funny. I love Ricky Gervais. He's hosting the Golden Globes at the moment, which is so good.
I'm itching to hear what he says.
I'm going to watch the whole thing just because Ricky Gervais is on. I've never, ever watched the Golden Globes from beginning to end, but I'm so excited because here's what he said to start off. I love this. Okay, a direct quote from Ricky. "You're in no position to lecture the public about anything," he's saying to the people at the Golden Globes. "You know nothing about the real world. Most of you spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg. So if you win, come up, accept your little award, thank your agent and your God, and then fuck off." Isn't that the best thing anyone has ever said to Hollywood? Ever.
Yeah, he was a great choice for a host.
Have you seen his clips from before? Anybody who wants to go on YouTube, Ricky Gervais from his hosting before the Golden Globes. He's hosted it, I think, twice now before. And so it's available on YouTube. He roasts everyone. It's unbelievable.
Fantastic. I can't wait. I mean, this is exciting. So that's a great way to start the year. I'm obviously sorry about the bushfires in Australia. That's a horrible story for them. And there are lots of people and lots of animals that are suffering as a result of that. So we're thinking about the people in Oz. Even though it's, you know, as I've said, this is something that happens in a country where everything burns. It's very ugly, it's very unfortunate, and obviously it's much worse than anybody could have predicted. But I know that there are people who are working day and night, firefighters and medical personnel and, you know, government officials, all kinds of people trying to sort this out. So it's not as if the world's just ignoring this problem. And I don't want to hear any more of this crap of like comparing one tragedy to another and you decide which tragedy deserves more attention or respect. Like, what kind of a monster are you if you think that a terror attack is more important than people dying in a fire or, you know, a ship sinking or anything else? It's you comparing these things is apples and pears, and it just makes you sound like a monster. Another thing that happened to start the year off that's probably going to turn into a talking point is Iran. A lot of people very interested in the killing of the Soleimani, who seems to have been an utter piece of shit during his life. He's destabilized much of the Middle East. He had a lot to do with Lebanon's spiraling into just ungovernable disaster. You know, Lebanon used to be a really amazing country. Beirut used to be the pearl of the Mediterranean in some ways. That country is just absolutely devastated by the fact that it is a proxy for a war against Israel in some ways, for a war against war between Sunni and Shia Islam, just like Syria, which is another place that the Soleimani was involved in. He was basically the second in command of Iran. And the fact that Donald Trump took him out in the first week of the year is just a great way to start the year. I'm not going to pretend I'm upset about that at all. Video and pictures of him blown to bits. There's a piece of his fucking hand on one end of the picture. There's a piece of his leg on the other, his bloody face. I am thrilled that a piece of human debris like this, and especially after he was blown up, he really did look like debris. But someone who did so much evil stuff in his life should be taken out is a good thing for the rest of us. And what Trump's saying to the Iranians is, you crazy Ayatollahs better watch out, because if I can take out your chief military guy, I can take you out too. So stop with this nuclear shit. Stop causing trouble in Syria, causing trouble in Lebanon, causing trouble in the Middle East generally, and behave yourselves. And also, by the way, let the people of Iran who don't agree with you, students who've been protesting for years, people who, there is no opposition in Iran, it's been outlawed. The Iranian Republican Guard makes it impossible for any opposition to exist. And there are good people in Iraq who are trying to live their lives, trying to deal with modernity, women in particular who are not treated like they would be in the rest of the world. And I'm willing to have that argument with anyone who wants to have it. But you know what? I just absolutely love the fact that Donald Trump is taking decisive action. Barack Obama sent them money. Donald Trump is sending them death certificates for their worst people. And I think that's great. So that's going to come up a couple of times during the first couple of weeks of this year. The other thing that I suppose some people want to talk about, and there may be some merit in discussing a lot of things, but maybe this Ricky Gervais story is going to explode into a whole topic of topics.
There's already a Tom Hanks meme, which or his expression was memeable, and that'll be going around because it was a reaction to something that Ricky had said.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're calling it the most meme-worthy moment of the evening.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
It all started when Ricky called out Apple for launching a streaming service this year.
Oh, yeah?
And Apple CEO Tim Cook was in the audience, and immediately he looked very nervous.
Yeah, you see, these guys are not used to being told the truth. Yeah.
Ever.
And they live in a bubble. Funny, a friend of mine, he's a very good friend of mine. I have a lot of time for him. He's a good guy. He's an ANC MP, but we can't all choose our company.
We all have our problems.
He and I had the most interesting interaction on WhatsApp yesterday because he's very pro-Iran, and that's where it started. And I said to him, I don't want to discuss foreign affairs with you, but I do want to say at the beginning of this year, I hope you guys get your shit together because you've got a chance to, your last chance really, to fix a bunch of things. I said to him, right now, half the country, because it was yesterday during load shedding, half the country is without power, and we've got to start work on Monday, and we've got to get this economy going. It's the only way that unemployed people are going to find work, and that poor people are going to be able to make a meaningful contribution to the economy, and that people will be able to employ more and more people as if we grow. And I said, it's funny, like, a lot of people in Iran think their government are assholes, just like here. And he said, what are you calling me an asshole and all the rest of it?
Oh, wow.
So I said to him, not you. Don't take it personally, because that's the childish response, you know, like immediately to, if I weren't meaningfully engaging with you in a conversation like this, then you could infer that I thought you were an asshole, because I would be talking about you publicly. But this is between us. And I said to him, you know, nobody really inside the bubble, because he's in the government bubble. He thinks people love the government, they respect the government, they need the government. Like, the world's moving away from that stuff. It's not moving towards it. people care less and less what governments are doing. And especially if, like our government, you're a bunch of people who get together, you make unenforceable laws. It's like play acting. You're sitting there in a big room pretending to be a government, but all you're really doing is just running things into the ground. Look at what you've done with SOEs. Now, I said at the end of it, you know, the ANC has hardly even got an Angie Motshekga level pass. You know it, and everybody else knows it. So you've got 2020 to make things right. Otherwise, you will be overtaken, not just by other political parties, because that's the way they think. They just see other political parties, and they think, well, the EFF's too small, and the DA's in shambles, which is true. But that's not where the opposition comes from. Remember, only 12 million people or so voted for the ANC in the last election. We have a population of approaching 60 million. That's not even a quarter of the population. Not even a quarter of the people who live within our borders voted for the ANC. So for the ANC to say, well, we speak on behalf... No, you don't, really. Because those 75% of people who didn't even vote or who voted for someone else, they don't care about you. And that's what government needs to realize. Like, it's not... Those rules are gone. The new rules are coming in. And people all over the world are starting to turn their backs on ineffective and shitty governments. And good. It couldn't happen to nicer people.
100%.
Right?
100. You know, Gareth, we always reduce democracy down purely to the electoral process because, you know, oh, we got all these votes, whatever, as the ANC or whoever these political dickheads are that win. But actually, democracy is a web of things. What they don't realize is it's economic. It's people on the ground. It's not just I put a tick in the box. So they're doing 3,000 years ago politics, a Hellenic type of politics in 2019, which is why they are so out of touch.
Excellent.
It's dead.
Well, I've got a list from Vox, who very helpfully put together a list of things that Ricky Gervais said that upset them. And if it's from Vox, then that's really great. So I can't wait to read those to you. But we'll get to that in the next hour. We've got a couple of messages. There's no point in us just doing this show and not expecting to get feedback from you or not giving your feedback a chance to see the sun. So let's go to those. First of all, Robert's listening from Auckland in New Zealand this evening. He says it's weird to catch you guys over drinks instead of morning tea. People listening all over the world. 6 a.m. on the dot. That's the first time. Welcome back, guys. Much love. See? People appreciate when we start on time.
There we go.
Hey, guys. Compliments and welcome back. Yo, this was the worst festive season ever for me.
Oh no.
I'm sorry to hear that. The first time, I just can't wait to go back to work. Sure. Bitlang, what happened?
Excuse.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That doesn't sound good. Great to have you guys back from Gavin. Thank you so much, Gavin. Oh, welcome back. But Gareth, Trump has started World War III. Great to have you back. Only seeing my first client next week, so I'm technically still on leave. But I'm like a blind man in an orgy. I'll be feeling my way through things this week.
What an image.
Year planning, spring cleaning, admin, etc. It's nice to have a week to do that, so enjoy. That sounds like a lot of fun. And that's from Sean. A great audiobook for you to put on the list is The Madness of Crowds by Douglas Murray. It's fantastic, Kelvin. Okay. I can't tell you how good I have. I've found that book. I've read it. I haven't done the audiobook version, but I found it absolutely enlightening. So if you still think that social media is the truth, if you think that just because someone gets a lot of retweets, they must be speaking the truth and they make sense, or if you think that the collective wisdom of a crowd is any use at all, read this book. It's called The Madness of Crowds, and Douglas Murray is someone who we are pursuing to get an interview with. So hopefully this year we get to talk to him a little bit. Definitely one of the people who you want to hear from. All right, it is 22-7. Anthea is going to pop in just now with a little look at the markets. And Bulelo's got some sport for us. Hey, Anthea, what's happening? Look at you.
Good morning.
Wow.
Happy New Year. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll say that for another week.
When do you stop saying it? Is there a cutoff?
The first. Yes, the first.
No.
Really?
Yes. Yes, it's over now, guys.
Give us another week and then we'll be fine.
Okay, so Anthea, first of all, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
How was your holiday?
Fresh, relaxed.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I stayed here, didn't do very much, kind of just caught up with myself, really, which is what I needed to do.
Same here, and it was great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. Ah. Oh, it was hot, the weather.
Sure.
I did some exercise, hurt myself, the usual.
How did you hurt yourself?
Oh, no, swim training, just rotator cuff nonsense. It's the usual, like nothing, no surprise. And that was my holiday. Had some friends round, went round to friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did the same thing.
Pretty much. Yeah. But how nice was it?
You know, it's such a weird thing. Like I it's the first year that I haven't gone anywhere at all. And I thought I was quite apprehensive about it before Christmas. But it was fantastic. Like I woke up in my own bed every single day. And I woke up when I wanted to in my
That's
own
rather
bed,
dull.
Which was fantastic. I'm sorry, you didn't.
Ooh, girl.
But it's nice. Like you get to really see what kind of a routine you would like going forward. Mm. And you get to plan stuff for the new year without putting pressure on yourself. It doesn't feel like it's pressure when you're at home. You know, no one wants to think about that stuff when you're actually away.
And you're really kind of... You give yourself space to think as well, right? Uh-huh. So you give yourself a bit of, without the pressure of like, oh, I have to do this. What's going to happen? Oh, it's so nice. And I could read research reports in my own leisurely time.
Well, that's where talk we about branch
dull.
Off.
Okay.
Talk about dull.
I can actually see Anthea curled up on the couch enjoying that. That's your moment
that's,
of bliss.
That's the best. Yeah,
that's where we branch off and we're doing different things. All right, so here it is. The Money Shot with Anthea Gardner. Brand new decade, a brand new year. And we're going to start off with a little market performance review. We'll look at the best and the worst performing stocks on the JSE. We'll look at what is coming up in the next few months and some company-specific news too.
Right.
She works hard for her money. Here's Anthea. So what's up? Don't worry, I'm just playing
your song.
Playing
my song.
I am playing your song. we always play your song. I've just killed it now. You take off the headphones.
Oh, okay. Oh, goodness. Clearly, holiday brainstorm.
Yeah, we're
moving
getting
along.
Into
right,
it.
So where were we? Last year, the all-share index finished 8.2% up, which is a little bit short of the 15% that the MSCI Emerging Markets Index did. So not the best performing stock market in emerging markets. The currency was about 2% stronger for the year. Definitely one of the best performing emerging market currencies. Unbelievable stuff. Was it last week? No, where am I? Kind of still time, trying to figure out my timeline here. At the beginning of last week, before the Iran attack, the Rand dollar exchange rate was 13.94, which is like unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. So I've got some friends overseas and I sort of said to them, you need to spend a bit more because the Rand's really strong.
Yeah.
Hint, hint, gifts. And then, of course, we had the Iran attack on Friday and the Rand's
now
gone.
It wasn't an Iran
gone.
Attack. It was an attack on an Iranian in Iraq.
My apologies.
Yeah.
I'm just taking shortcuts here.
No, I know, but it sounds like America's attacked Iran, and that's why people are going, oh, World War III. I'm not spreading panic this year, so we're going to get everything right.
Okay, that one. Before that attack.
An attack on a terrorist Iranian in Iraq. Let's be very particular about
it. Okay.
And what were the responses from the market?
The emerging market, it really became a risk-off. Emerging market currencies just plummeted. Our Rand went to 14.24 against the US dollar from below 13.
And commensurate then, obviously, gold went up.
Gold and oil spiked. Right. Oil is now over $70 a barrel from...
We've been here before. Let's again, no panic.
We have been here before, but we don't like it, right? Because as South African consumers, we're a little bit short on free cash flow at the moment. And a higher oil price does mean a higher petrol price. And a weaker rand combined means even higher oil price because we import our oil or petrol. So there you go. So it's not great for us. So the indices last year, the kind of worst performers were the financial shares that were down 4%. The industrials were up 9%, which was great. And then the resource index was up 20%. I mean, that's going to point to the top 10 performers, right? The top 10 performers on the JSE last year, Impala Platinum was up 291%.
Wow, nice for them.
How did that kind of happen?
Is this just because platinum prices were good, or is it because the mining sector in general is finding new ways to realign its business, to figure out more cost-effective strategies? I mean, mining is improving in increments.
So I'll answer that by giving you the rest of the top 10. How's
okay,
that?
All right.
So Banya Gold, up 258%. Mm. Northern Platinum, 186%. Anglo-American Platinum, 143%. Wow. DRD Gold, 140%. Harmony Gold, 103%. Royal Bafokeng Platinum, up 99%. Goldfields, up 94%. Anglo Gold Ashanti, up 74%. And then Lowly Little Cartrack, up 69%.
But
the top nine
all
were all
platinum
mining.
And gold.
Platinum and gold, yes. And so absolutely that was a rally on the platinum shares, and these companies also produce palladium. And if you look at the chart of palladium, and I can't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but if you look at the chart of palladium spot over the last 10 years compared to the other metals, you'll see that palladium has far outstripped or outperformed any of the metals, although all of them are fairly much higher.
I've got about 5 grams of palladium. What should we do with it, Anthea?
Sell it. I wasn't sure about that was like my
5 grams is not a lot, Anthea. We're not going to have to retire on that.
So I think it's trading, what's it now, about 1,000, let's say it's trading over $1,000 an ounce. So you can go and figure out what that's worth to you.
Yeah.
So it's been a really great year. And I think the question everyone's asking now is pretty much what you're saying. If I have these shares in my portfolio, what must I do with them? Must I take profits? My view is the rally's not over. I think there's still a bit to go. So, and people say to me, for how long must I hold it? Well, I don't know. Let's watch the market carefully. But if you're predicting out into the future, and I would say you're probably predicting, it's easy to predict, I'd say 3 to 6 months, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing much changes over 3 to 6 months. I can't tell you what's going to happen in a year. I think 3 to 6 months, those shares are still going to be steady, if not consistently higher, especially your gold shares with hashtag World War III.
paranoia. Yeah.
Hold on to them for a bit longer. And then the worst performing shares, so the quantums weren't as big as the best performing shares, thank goodness. But again, you'll see a trend here. Massmart down 50%, Nampak down 51%, Steinhoff down 51%, as if it could fall any further. Blue Label Telecom down 52%, Brait down 54%, PPC down 58%, EOH Holdings down 59%, Ascendus Healthcare down 63%, ArcelorMittal down 65%, and Into Properties, which is mostly a property company that has mostly UK and European exposure, down 70%. So 70% down compared to the Impala Platinum, which was up 291%. Wow. Is great. And the trend in the shares that didn't perform were, in fact, and I mean, I think some of them not so obvious, these were shares that were highly leveraged with balance sheets that had so much debt on it that it actually couldn't withstand any kind of shake in the economy or shake in their revenue. And things were difficult. So PPC, EOH, well, theirs was very company specific. I mean, all sorts of things going on there. Mm-hmm. And these are companies we've spoken about regularly because they hit the news, right?
Yeah,
so you recognize the names.
So in other words, this isn't coming out of nowhere.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm surprised, like, the one company that kind of has held itself quite well is MTN. Through last year, they had so much drama. In fact, they finished the year off with drama because the U.S. alleged that they had violated the U.S. Anti-Terrorism Act by paying protection money to Al-Qaeda and the Taliban in Pakistan.
For being able to operate in Pakistan.
In those areas, yeah. So, of course, the U.S. is seeking damages for military members and civilians killed or wounded in Afghanistan. Sorry, not Pakistan, Afghanistan. What's wrong with me? And then, of course, MTN are going to try and fight it. And they've just had a change of chairman. Tumen Schleke was replaced by, somebody's going to have to Google that for me, so somebody well known, and his name escapes me right now. So you can see I'm just like talking off the cuff.
I'm the Googler here.
Thank you, Sia.
MTN chairperson is?
Mcebisi Joe. No.
Mcebisi
Joe.
Yes.
Is a new chairman.
Yes, it was somebody well known. Yeah, there we go.
Well, this is in May of,
Oh, that was the announcement, but it only the change only
it was effective
at the end of last year.
From the 15th of December. Yes,
sure, look at you, Sia. Just our he's our our live-in encyclopedia.
Okay, researcher, you know, of note.
Well, also Dr. Khotso Mokele, you know, of course you know who that is. He will assume the responsibilities of lead independent director.
It goes without saying.
You guys knew that,
say,
right?
It goes without saying.
As my dad would say, oh, did you Google it?
Yeah.
Google it.
I mean, so just
despite
quick...
all of that news, MTN not doing too badly.
No, it's not doing great, I'm afraid. I mean, we were looking for a share price of between 105 and 110 rand. Last time I checked, it was trading at 84 rand.
Okay, maybe time but to get out of there.
but you know, we were kind of like, oh, we're going to buy it. It's really cheap. And well, now it's cheaper.
But you're cheap, not rushing to buy, are you?
Cheap today, cheaper than yesterday.
See, I just don't see what the runway is for these guys.
That's unfortunately...
And the same goes for Vodacom and for Cell C.
And Telkom.
And for Telkom. I don't see the runway. I mean, they obviously are the providers of something which we've become... it's become a part of everything that we do, the internet. These guys are service providers.
And it's essential, right? Essential.
Right, but the prices are being driven down.
Right,
and there are international people entering the market. They are not in charge of the content. They never have been. So they're just a pipeline. And how much are you willing to pay for the pipe that brings the water to your house? You don't even think about the pipe. You pay for the water. So we'll see how this goes.
So with MTN, I guess the excitement last year was the new CEO, Rob Shooter, right? And that we knew he was a banking guy and that he was bringing in all his banking cronies. Right. And that potentially he could turn it around and they've got this great footprint across Africa, blah, 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 blah. You know the story, right? I mean, this reminds me of Africanacity or Standard Bank or... Anyway, we'll see what happens. And so then just very quickly to recap, I don't have the final hashtag invest numbers. Well, I do on my spreadsheet, but I'm not allowed to say them until they are confirmed by a third-party provider. But considering that the JSE was up 8%, our hashtag invest portfolios did okay. Our conservative and our growth and income portfolios, the two, were up above 7% last time I checked, which was November. So hopefully they'll be up more in December. The growth was up 8% and the aggressive growth was up 12%. So very much in line with performance. Thank you, Sia. And very much risk adjusted. So we're not taking too much risk. These portfolios haven't been jumping around through the year. They've been nice and consistent, which is what you want. You know, mm-hmm. if you're going to outperform the index by tens of percentages, then the point is that you're taking additional risk.
Okay.
And then going forward, I think what's on everyone's mind, hashtag World War III, not that we want to be, we don't want to be scaremongers. But yeah, I think that is a real big concern for the markets at the moment. We don't know where we're going, and especially emerging markets with this risk-off sentiment. Like, no investor is going to be investing in risky assets. They're going to run to oil and to gold and fixed income sort of bonds. U.S. government bonds are probably considered the most or the least risky.
Will you make up your mind?
Oh dear.
It's going to be a long 2020.
It is, right?
Anthea's starting the year not entirely sure whether she's giving us advice to buy or sell, which is scary.
Oh dear. It's not a good place to be. And then we've got the budget coming up as well, which I think is going to be South Africa's big story. I don't know how they would have turned this budget around. I can't see anything that shows me that government would have turned the budget around. And if they haven't turned it around, there is no doubt in my mind that Moody's is going to downgrade us. And so, of course, we'll see a bit of a sell-off. You know, South African bonds are already trading at junk status. So we'll see this knee-jerk reaction where the bonds get sold off, equities get sold off, nobody knows what's going on, interest rates spike a little, and then it all normalizes. That's my feeling on this. So all this kind of scaremongering about the kind of, you know, but we fall out of the world government bond index.
Don't panic.
Run.
Why? It's that kind of day, is it? Mm-hmm. And then two big news stories overseas. Travis Kalanick, who's the co-founder of Uber, has severed all ties with the company, sold all his shares, and taken home his $3 billion worth
good
of cash.
Good for him. Now, can you imagine $3 billion of cash? We talk about people who are billionaires, right? They don't have that money in cash. This guy actually has that money in cash.
He's converted his paper profits to real money.
And also, he's so sick of being the devil. Every time anything bad happens with Uber, he used to get the blame. I mean, there was a lot of controversy with the last year and a half of how it's been managed and what's been going on there. But this guy invented a service which I used 20 times over the holidays. God bless you, Travis Kalanick. God bless you. You are entitled to your $3 billion.
Retire in peace.
Do whatever you want with it.
Underpaid. Okay, so do you want to know what he's going to do?
Tell me.
He's going to start creating ghost kitchens, or dark kitchens, they call them, you know, for delivery, like Uber Eats and takeaway.com.
Right.
And yeah, so he's so they have dark kitchens. They call them dark kitchens.
Sounds,
I don't like that term. Like
a, yeah, it's, not a, it's not very appetizing. Where are you going to order supper from, Mom?
Dark kitchen.
Well, no, that's not how it works, but okay.
So food on demand.
Yes.
Cooked meals on demand.
But,
more
like. Given like recipes like so... Think about these restaurant chains. Think about Spur. All their sauces get made in one place. And all they do is deliver the sauce to the restaurant. The griller puts the meat on the grill, pours the sauce over it. Sorry, Sia, because I know you're vegetarian. And it's the same in every single restaurant.
Uh-huh.
Right. So that's what he's going to do for the delivery services business. So at the moment, in South Africa especially, if you order... A delivery takeaway, the driver will drive to the restaurant, collect the food, and drive it to your house. And if you order from three places, by the time he gets to you, the third one is cold. And so what they do with these dark kitchens is they put them all together, in a big warehouse, and they make your recipe of your food, and they offer very specific, right?
Okay.
So you could have a Spur burger from a dark kitchen. You could have a Pad Thai Simply Asia from a dark kitchen, from the same
beautiful
dark kitchen.
Oh, wow.
I love it. So in other words, you can go to 10 restaurants in one night, and it'll all arrive on time at the same place. And it'll probably be cheaper because they'll be able to standardize it across all of them.
Hopefully, yes. That's the other
thing. So this is obviously it's bad really news good. For all the existing chains because they will either have to license that stuff.
That's exactly right. So they will indeed. They'll have to license it because he can't, you know, he can't copy a Spur sauce or a Simply Asia noodle dish. He has to get the recipe from them. And he potentially even maybe has to bring in one of their chefs or one of their grillers.
So then technically no one has to lose from this. It's another win-win.
Oh, it's an absolute win. Yeah. It's a great thing.
The customer wins. The suppliers win.
He's bloody clever, hey?
Yeah, he's bloody clever.
And underpaid. Only $3 billion. And he gave us Uber.
Yeah, I should get more.
Underpaid.
I agree.
And then the last news story is Carlos Ghosn, who's the ex-CEO of Nissan. I mean, I'd like to say Carlos Ghosn, actually, because you get it? He ran. He fled Japan.
Why did he flee? Are they after him?
Yes. So the US-Japanese law system, or lawmakers, or whatever you want to call them, have got him up for charges of... underreporting his earnings, so he got paid a lot more than he said he had got paid, and misuse of the company assets.
So has he just gone dark? We can't find him?
No, he's in Lebanon, he says. In fact, this is what he said. I am now in Lebanon and will no longer be held hostage by a rigged Japanese justice system.
Wow.
Where guilt is presumed, discrimination is rampant, and basic human rights are denied.
Well, you've chosen a shitty time to be in the Middle East, my friend.
Yeah. Anyway, I think the big story is how he got out, because he had previously been arrested, and he was under, out on bail, I guess. And, you know, then you're not allowed to escape. So there's a great picture on the day he fled, I think it was last Tuesday, of him walking out of his house. And that's the last he was seen. Nobody knows where he went from there. Okay. Yeah, apparently he got a private jet out.
What an exciting story.
Yeah. And the death sentence is still very real in Japan, for those who don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very real.
Oh, really?
Oh, that is very, very real.
They take it seriously.
They don't muck about with that.
And especially in corporate environments, usually they expect you to kill yourself.
It's an honor, actually. Yeah, yeah, there's honor killings. Oh, that's very real.
If you mismanage a company, yes. I mean, there was
a
guy.
On your sword.
I remember when, I think it was one of the toy manufacturers was using lead-based paint, and a few children like got lead poisoning and some of them died, and the CEO actually killed himself.
Not to just step down.
To kill himself, to remove himself from the
Not
gene
just
pool.
His career.
For ruining the lives of children he hadn't even met. I think that's tremendous.
That's an honor thing. That's the honorable way to do it.
Yeah. Miss me.
That's tremendous.
Goodbye. No, thanks.
Not, not going to be the CEO of a Japanese company, no matter how much they pay you.
Ooh. No. No.
Well, just don't kill anyone and you won't have to kill yourself.
There you go.
It's not a hard rule to follow, is it?
No.
Is that too much to ask?
It isn't.
It's a risky one. I'm fine here. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Anthea.
And off we go to the office.
So much for us to start our year with, but thank you very much. The Money Shot, Anthea Gardner, and a great start to the year, hopefully, for all of us. Some interesting things to ponder in terms of what you do with your money going forward for the year 2020. Can't believe it's 2020. It's just unreal. When we come back, we'll talk about a bunch of things, and I'll play you a little bit of Ricky Gervais's opening monologue, which has got all of Hollywood putting out fires. They are just, it is so spicy. It is the best way to start the year. I can't wait to share it with you. So all of that and more on the way. CliffCentral.com. Let's get your day off to the right start, the start that you wanted to have. And by the way, you can always get hold of us. You know how to do that. 0797482090. Give us a call. Send us a message, whatever is on your mind. And let's talk. Let's get cracking this morning. So much to do.
Jet plane, head up to the CliffCentral.com.